Hi, welcome back to another episode of You the Mother podcast by Abby Williams, a space dedicated to supporting, empowering, and connecting all parents in all seasons of parenthood. You can find more supportive content over on Instagram at You the Mother, and be sure to check out youthemother.com, where you can reach out to work with me one-on-one or sign up for my group coaching. Just a reminder, this is the last week to register for the Navigating the Holiday Support Group. In this 8-week group, you will sit with like-minded individuals who are navigating difficult family dynamics, struggling to set boundaries, navigating estrangement, and more. We will focus on reclaiming your sense of self, setting those boundaries, prioritizing you and your needs, communication, and so much more. You will have a safe space to share your experience and your pain points, as well as build that community of support for yourself. I hope to see some of you there. In this week's episode, I'm welcoming on Dr. Diana Dixon, the CEO of Pump With Purpose, to talk all about supporting you in your pumping journey. Pump With Purpose is a global lactation and postpartum private practice serving the postpartum community across the world and was started due to a recognized lack of resources and assistance in lactation for people who want to include pumping in their journey either exclusively or in addition to nursing. Dr. Diana Dixon is a doctor of public administration, certified lactation counselor, and certified breastfeeding specialist, postpartum doula, certified life coach, and master certified life coach with a focus in postpartum families. She has a sincere interest in helping you be seen, heard, valued, and validated in your postpartum journey. She wants to be an additional resource in your breastfeeding journey to assist with incorporating pumping in a way that works for you and your family, as well as assisting in all aspects of your postpartum journey. Pump With Purpose has assisted over 2,000 postpartum clients over the past 2 years, and to date, they have over 300 pumping products in their inventory list. We talk everything pumping in today's episode. From products to schedules to how to make pumping a sustainable part of your breastfeeding journey. You can find Dr. Diana over on her website, pumpwithpurpose.com. She also has a Pump With Purpose app on all Apple and Google devices. And you can find her on Instagram at pumpwithpurpose. Make sure you go give her a follow because she goes live. She has so much useful content over there. She is a must follow if you are on a pumping journey. And if you go check her out over on her website, be sure to hit the subscribe button to get the Pumping Survival Guide. I hope that you enjoy today's episode. And if you do, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review. Your support here on the podcast always means the world to me. And I so appreciate you being here. So let's get started in supporting you, the mother. Dr. Diana, thank you so much for joining me on You, the Mother podcast. I am so excited to be having this conversation with you and talking about how we can pump with purpose. I know for myself, it's been a while since I've been on my breastfeeding journey, but it was a challenge, and I am so excited to be gifting my listeners with individuals like yourself who are helping and supporting those who are in their journeys, because I just think that we need so much support, especially in those early moments of motherhood, but really all moments of motherhood. So thank you for being that space and that little corner of the internet where people can plug in and get those resources. Tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
Hello, hello. I'm Dr. Diana. I am the CEO and founder of Pump With Purpose. I am a global lactation and postpartum private practice where we focus on helping women to breast pump and teach them how to breast pump throughout the world. We've seen about 2,000 clients in 2 years. We pride ourselves in being, we want to normalize pumping. Our global mission is to normalize pumping and let the world know that we pump with purpose. And we also say, if you are putting a pump to those nips, we want to be a part of your journey. So it's very, very important to us to normalize pumping either exclusively or in addition to nursing and or formula feeding. So we're very much pro-infant feeding. We tell people all the time, we really don't care how you feed. We want you to be able to make informed decisions and stop letting other people make those informed decisions for you. So we started around May of 2021, and we've gone full speed ever since. So I started out of my weaning journey. So Pump Life chose me. So on my first journey, I was forced to pump. Second journey, I chose to pump. So on my first journey, my oldest son, he pooped in the sack. His lungs collapsed at birth. He had to be resuscitated, immediately taken to the NICU. No one told me how to use a pump. I had a pump in my room and no one showed me. So here I am out to the internet, and we all know how that can go. So I fought my way through, then learned how he was tongue-tied and lip-tied as well. So he had those released. And I spent 3 months because society made me think, I'm supposed to nurse. I'm a failure as a mom if I don't nurse. And literally, I spent so much time crying. My husband's like, why are you doing this to yourself? And I'm like, because I'm supposed to. So I went through all the tongue tie, lip tie, IVs, the person, lactation professional coming in, trying to teach me how to nurse, and it didn't work. So at 3 months in, I was like, I'm going to try one more time. And so I put my son to my nipples and my breast, and he laughed at me. I mean, straight cackling, like, what is this, mommy? What am I supposed to do with it? And I never tried to nurse again. So fast forward, I pumped for 9 months on my first journey, providing breast milk, 3,000 ounces saved up because I knew I wanted to get pregnant sooner. He had breast milk to last until 12 months. And then second journey, fast forward, had my second son, stressed the entire time about everything that happened in my first journey. None of that happened in my second. He was planned C-section, but born perfectly, you know, fine. Didn't have to go to the NICU. This time around, I knew I wanted to pump. He actually was tongue-tied, lip-tied, and vocal-tied. So instead of waiting 6 weeks trying to figure out who and what's supposed to do who and who's supposed to do what, I took him straight to the source at 2 weeks on my birthday. But this time around, I didn't go through all the trying to nurse. We did all of his assessments with the bottle, and I went on to feed both my infant and toddler for over three years, providing both of them breast milk. Of course, my infant got everything that he needed. I saved about a bag or two a day, and my toddler got my oversupply for well over 3 years. I let me tell you, nothing feels better than vindication. Period, point blank, put a pin in it. The world told me that I could not be successful at pumping, that pumping was not a viable, sustainable, long-term solution. So I had a two-year goal to pump. So I decided to go longer. I went a whole over 3 years just to prove to everyone, stop saying that we cannot pump. If we learn how to pump based on our body on our own terms, we can do what is best for us. So much information is set up for women not to be successful. We live in the United States. Some people having to go back after 2 weeks. I meet women have to go back after 6 weeks. Some can go a 6 months. Some never have to go back. But if we are needing to, then guess what? Pumping is going to be a part of your journey if you want to have milk supply for your baby when you get back home. And some women, due to sexual trauma, due to they don't want something else like a human on their nipples, they are choosing to pump from birth. And you don't need a reason. It's just because you don't want to. You can pump from birth. And so I've just set up my global lactation and postpartum private practice to make sure that you know what you need to be successful. So many people, I have 300 pumping products in here. I know you can't see per se, but so many people are just throwing out product after product. Do you know how many products? They're like products created weekly now when it comes to pumping. It is overwhelming. We don't know what to choose, what to do. And then everyone's like, buy this, buy this, buy this. No, let's slow down, figure out your body, figure out what's going on. And then you can try to figure out products that work based on your body. What I mean is you can't prefer, you know, let's say you have a higher pain tolerance. You can't go and use the weakest pump on the market because guess what? It's not going to work. But you have to be ready to have those conversations with professionals because there are people that specialize in pumping now. Like, it's not just that people that have a bunch of pumping products. We are committed to the pumping space, to making sure that we're trying all the products. I know people think I've gotten some products gifted to me, but a lot of them I purchased. I had 20 pumps just even before Pump With Purpose because I was that person. Oh, this was great. Let me try. Not that I have problems with my milk supply, but it's that fear of missing out. Like, oh, I need this. And then I need this. And then I called and I, you know, someone else said that this was amazing and they got all this milk on this pump. And then like people out here just chasing, and I'll just not get on my soapbox. So it's the reason for Pump With Purpose. I want us to stop spending so much, learn ourselves first, And then you can figure out what works best for you. Does that make sense? I hope, like,
yeah. So I'm just like, how do we pause and learn ourselves? So I guess is my question, right?
Yeah. So some of it comes with a dialogue. So when my clients pull up, I'm asking them these type of questions. So it's pump. So I built my practice around the pumping equation. It's trademarked by Pump with Purpose. And that is pump, flange, products, and schedule. Everyone wants to go to eat more, drink more, pump more, sleep more, stress less, take herbal supplements, all of those things. When you're pumping, you really need to understand your body. You have to figure out what pump you like. Like I mentioned, if you like faster pumps or like slower ones feel like, ugh, get this thing off of me. Why would you use it? Your nipples are stretching. You have this long pull milking feature type pump that can then make you not respond to other pumps. And so, and then it's just, it creates more confusion. So do you like faster suction? Do you like slower suction? Do you like stronger suction? We believe you should not be on the higher end of a pump or lower end of a pump, because if your nips start hurting, you can't go any lower. And then if all of a sudden the pump is too weak for you per se, you're all the way on the top and now can't go higher because pumps have different suction strengths, suction patterns. And so I commit that, you know, learning about all the pumps on the market help me to match women in pumps if they want to know. Because a lot of times we call, if we have an insurance pump, we call on the phone, hey, what pump do I get? And you're taking advice from the person over the phone that may not have ever used the pump to the rest. And you never know, you know, what people are doing. And, you know, the space has become, you know, so much. You don't know who's getting kickbacks. You don't know who's being told to say what and what to say who. And I've committed to the pumping community that no one can buy me. Like, I don't trade care for followers. So I really commit. I do reviews on my YouTube and Instagram channels are the main ones for the long form reviews. So I have like almost 300 pumping products. We create reviews on pumps where all of our pump reviews cover the pump itself, how to assemble it, how to operate the pump, like how it operates, because, you know, no one's reading the manual. And then my initial thoughts on the pump. And I tell myself, I pride myself is I give you stuff that other people make you pay for. Like, you don't have to ever find out what do you need to increase your milk supply. I promise you, it's pump, flange, products, and schedule if you are pumping. We specialize in pumping. So I want to be very clear, though. We don't do latch assessments. We don't do anything dealing with nursing because that's not our jam. I believe that if I didn't do that well, it's hard for me to, you know, I know how to refer you out. I know how to, you know, find people that work for you as far as like what you're looking for in a provider. You want someone open-minded and, you know, not like do this because that's what we did. I'm like, no, you want to find, I'm not going to get on that soapbox. So, you know, I know what my jam is. I know what my niche is. And I know who I support. So we're happy to refer out, but we just want you to take control over your journey. We deserve it. I mean, we deserve to take control over our journey.
Dr. Diana, when you're talking about, you know, these different speeds, different flange, different, you know, all these different things, and especially for like our first time mamas who just have never, is there a way for us to be trying all these out? Or like, how do we know, like, do I want a stronger, a weaker, you know, do I want it to pull more? Do I not like that? Like, how the heck do we even know?
Yes. So you want to start with, you know, figuring out the pump, then flanges. So we talk the pump that comes, let me give you the secret sauce. All my followers, my communities know if I'm on a podcast or anywhere, I'm giving the secret sauce. Let me tell you, the pump flanges that come in the box are not right usually.
And that's like, what I use. That's why I have like PTSD from my pump. And I'm like, listen, I'm so excited that you are here so that my listeners don't have to go through what I do. Like, I hear the sound of the pump now and I'm like, oh, I can't even.
Yeah. So some of it is sound, though. I had a client, I will never forget. She had a pumping aversion. So the sound, so the nurse significant other said, put headphones on. So you don't have to hear. So those are the little tricks that we don't think about that can help. Like, we don't know what we don't know until we know it. And that's what I'm committed to. So, but for flanges, when it comes to, let me give you some secret sauce. If your nipples are swelling, looking like miniature Vienna sausages, if you are putting your nipple into the pump and taking it out, it's more swollen. 9 times out of 10, you're in the wrong size. If your nipples are turning colors, purple, blue, white, sharp shooting pains throughout the breast, nipple sensitivity going from the warm air of your shower to the cool air of your bathroom, then that is a sign. If you are pumping and all of a sudden all the milk is pooling at the bottom of the flange, you kind of got to bend over just a little bit so the milk will drop in. Those are all signs that you're in the wrong flange. But I'm big on making sure you have personalized care and someone to honor it. Because that's what people want to make you think that flanges are about numbers. But it's not. It's about the elasticity of your nipples. So I have elastic nipples, so it means that my nipples swell to go into any size flange. It will stretch and swell. So if you have that, then don't even get me started on women that have flat nipples or inverted nipples. They're creating nipple. People are like, wait a minute, what is that? You can create nipple. Yes, you can. If you keep having all this extra skin and areola to go in, I have women that their nipples just continue to get puffier and they create extra nipple that wasn't there. So going prenatally, and I get it. Let me tell you the other secret sauce. People are like, oh, I took a breastfeeding class when I was pregnant. If your breastfeeding class covered nursing base principles for 90% of the class and just said, oh, just pump, you know, just long as it's comfortable, as long as, you know, you just put the flange up there, oh, that looks good. You did not get care for pumping. And if you have to go back to work in corporate America, or you have to go back to work, or even if you're a stay-at-home mom, every baby isn't born perfectly able to latch. And while you're trying to get baby back to breast, I promise you, if you don't protect your supply of pumping, I'm going to say this in so much love, there may not be milk there when you get baby back to breast. You can signal down regulation to your body by not protecting your supply while you're trying to get baby back to breast. And it's so very important to know that.
Hey mamas, as a busy working mom of four, I struggle to maintain energy and focus most days. I was noticing my coffee was adding to my anxiety and creating a midday crash, which left me cranky with my kids and struggling to keep up with my never-ending to-do list. After struggling to find a solution for some time, I finally found Magic Mind. Magic Mind is the world's first productivity drink, which includes a magical combination of 13 active ingredients designed to stimulate focus, creativity, energy, and motivation while decreasing stress and inflammation. Go to magicmind.com/themother to get up to 50% off your subscription for the next 10 days with my code THEMOTHER20. That's THEMOTHER20. A cost-effective way to maintain a busy mom's motivation, energy, and focus? Yes, please. Again, check out magicmind.com/themother so you can do more and stress less too. That link will be in the description of this podcast, and I can't wait to hear how much you enjoy Magic Mind too. Dr. Diana, when we're talking about like these pumping schedules and keeping up our supply, you know, I think this is such a hard thing to navigate, right? How do we figure it out?
If you are pumping, we have trademarked the 240-minute rule, trademarked by Pump With Purpose, and that is every 3 hours for 30 minutes for the first 12 weeks, the right pump, flange, products, and schedule. So I go through things differently. Let's talk about pumping first. So that's what we recommend, every 3 hours for 30 minutes for the first 12 weeks with the right pump, flange, products, and schedule. When you are pumping only, you don't have to worry about what your baby's doing. We have our pumping and feeding life hacks is what we call it. Pumping and feeding at the same time. And I mean bottle feeding. Pumping and feeding from the same bottle when possible. There are bottle converters that allow you to depending on the bottle you have, hook the bottle to the pump. So then the biggest complaint about my people that are pumping, regardless if they're nursing as well, is all the extra bottles. Well, if you can get extra parts and get the bottle converters, right, that you can hook onto your pump, then you've cut your wash time completely in half. Like I've washed twice a day. Like I wasn't out here being miserable. And then pumping and feeding one bottle ahead. So if you already have the bottle on ready, because you know you can't plan around your child and when they're going to start wanting their bottle, even though I did, I gave my children enough to get to that 3 hour mark, just so I can enjoy the other 2.5 hours between sessions. But these are some of the tips. And people complain about the middle of the night pump the most. Let me give you the secret sauce to the middle of the night pump. I promise you, if before your last pump of the night, somewhere between 10, 11, or 12, right? You usually, if you do the 3 hours, every 3 hours, that's your last pump of the night. If you drink water, eat a snack and drink some water, I promise you're going to get up to go to the restroom. I promise you, you're going to get up. Your baby's going to cry unless you got some magical infant that I wish that I had that wasn't getting up between those hours overnight. You're
my
going to get up.
My 3.5-year-old is still getting up.
Listen, I got a 4-year-old. He will still, when he does sleep through the night, I'm like, whew, here we go. So it's all about making sure that you're getting up, that you're not like jumping up to an alarm all the time. It just makes it uncomfortable. And some people make the informed decision that they don't want to, but at least understand milk supply prolactin levels are highest overnight, usually between the hours of 12 to 5. Now, it does not mean that at 5:01, your milk supply drops the heck in a handbasket, but it is higher and then starts to go down throughout the day. So if you're bypassing all of that window and just sleeping 8+ hours, that can be a concern, unless pumping versus your mental capacity is what I call the pumping sweet spot, where you have to protect your mental capacity. But if you are going to skip pumps and not do something, at least make sure you're using the right tools, because you can't be in the wrong tools and think you're going to maximize your milk supply. But schedules are so important. And then if you're nursing, the biggest thing is you have to figure out when you want to pump. To me, I'm not a fan of trying to pump after every single nursing session. If something is going on with that, we would be bringing in your doctor. We're big on pumping for if you want a freezer stash or want to make sure that, like, you have something left over. Now, we don't control what people and what they want. We help you to understand so you can make informed decisions about what you want. But pumping to us should be to save for a rainy day. So someone else, if you want to go out on a girl's day, you know how many people go on a girl's trip and they're stressing themselves the week before they have to go, trying to create all this milk that you just signaled for the last 6 months that you didn't need because you didn't pump. And all of a sudden you're going to put a pump to your breast. Pumps get the worst slack or get the blame, like, oh, well, pumps don't empty you like a baby, which has been found in research that that's not true. But you can't go and tell your body the entire time that you don't need it. And then right a week before you're about to go back to work, you like start pumping frantically trying to create it, versus if you started when you're ready and strategically pumped around your baby when you want to, you know, yeah.
It's me. I'm the problem.
This
was me for sure.
Let me tell you why the difference is. Some people become freed when they know that, like, some people get care and then they just get the wrong information. But so many of us are carrying the weight on journeys that we're not happy with because we don't know what could have been done better. We can't go backwards, and we can only do the best we can with the information that we had at the time. So I never want anyone to feel bad, but I want you to know that these streets, when it comes to Google and what they're setting you up for or who you're talking to, gets to dictate what happens. And if you don't get to know your pump, if you don't figure out what you like, if the pump doesn't, we support primary use of primary pumps, which are pumps that have 60 plus settings on it. Pumps that can step, I'm gonna get a little technical, but I'm gonna try to, you know, I'm a teacher by nature, not like by job, but by nature. So if the vacuum and cycle settings don't allow for you to customize them separately, then that's a problem. Because on the other pumps that go up, it slows down in speed. So if you don't like slower settings, you're honestly not going to do well. It's if you need stronger vacuums, it's slower. I don't like things slow. That's me though. Some people love things slow. And how you know, if you start to go up and all of a sudden your milk supply starts to go down, it's a problem. It's your body telling you, I don't like this. If every time you press the button and lower the milk, lower the speed, and your milk supply slows down with it, it's a problem. Because everything about pumping is based on nursing principles. And I promise you, nursing and pumping are two different things. A baby goes quick, 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 just to bring down the milk. And when they slow it down, no, I'm giving a whole lot of secret sauce. They slow it down so they don't choke. But there's not a bottle in this world that's going to choke on your letdown. So some of you are purposely slowing down your milk flow when you don't need to. But you could take that secret sauce for the day. You gotta have to optimize your pumping sessions. If you are having long gaps, like 5 minutes before milk is coming out, something's wrong with your pump and or flanges. Like literally the pump settings are wrong. You want consistent milk flow for a good 20 to 25 minutes. And that brings me to the people that are telling you pump for 15 minutes. I promise you, if you pump for 15 minutes, unless you, especially breast tissue matter. So I made 50 to 55 ounces a day and never leaked a day in my life. I have stronger breast tissue. So what I'm saying is that I can't just sit, you know, some people, I pump for 10 minutes and all this milk start flowing out and I had 10 ounces when I was done. That's not the norm. That may not be your truth. So that's never my truth. I need a good amount of time to empty out my breast. The other thing is, I promise you, there's not a nursing person in this world trying to walk around, wash the dishes, fold the clothes, put the clothes in. Sometimes we need to sit down, relax and pump. And remember, I did a post on social media. When do you get your most milk output? People started thinking about it. And it's when they're sitting down somewhere. We got to put pumping on its own pedestal. We don't do all this stuff when we're trying to nurse. So when it's pumping, again, I'm not trying to chain you to a wall. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying is to relax somewhere. Make that the time that you're going to sit down, have a nice something to drink, have a nice snack, and just enjoy the time that you are able to just sit down somewhere. We are moving and shaking and moving and shaking. People are always trying to convince us easy and convenient. That is detriment to your milk supply. I promise you. Some of these wearables and small motor pumps are not meant to be primary because those things are like this big and then we're using it for 8+ pumps, about 8 pumps a day or less. And it's not meant to stand the test of time. Do you know how many people are destroying pumps? Like they're on pump number 3 or 4 because these pumps are not equipped to be able to be our primary pump. We need to be using a stronger, not strong as in strength. I mean, just a pump that's able to stand the test of time. And yes, I love my wearables if I need to go out and be more mobile. And if it empties out the breast well. So what the problem is that people will have their primary pump. And let's say that, for instance, smooth numbers that they make 3 ounces. They make 5 ounces in a session. And all of a sudden they use a wearable and they got 2.5. You left some milk behind. So if you don't get that milk out, it's going to tell your body that you don't need that milk. It's just a never ending cycle. And then you do that for like 2 weeks and then your milk supply is permanently taking a decrease.
I feel like my problems were that I wasn't on a consistent schedule. And so like my biggest like breastfeed or pumping journey was with my second child. And then it's honestly the reason why I left my job when I got pregnant with baby number 3 was that so I could exclusively breastfeed her because I just felt so under-supported with the pumping journey. And it's like, it's sad kind of to like reflect back on that time because I just felt like for me, I needed like 45 minutes to sit down and empty. And I was doing community-based mental health. So I was serving at-risk youth at that time. And we had, it's really fun in community-based mental health, you have a number of clients that you are required to see a week. And you are just there to meet those quotas and whatever. And so it just like was not doable for me to sit down every so many hours, spend 45 minutes and see 32 clients. And so when I'm trying to like come to, and so for me, it greatly impacted my mental health, right? So I'm like coming to my employer, who we are a mental health agency. And I'm like, my mental health is in the toilet right now. Like I'm unraveling. I'm not okay. And like, I'm not able to feed my baby like this. And so like the other girls and the place I was working at, the agency that I was working for, they're like, oh, well, you know, we pump in our car and we drive when we're driving to work. Like that's our first pumping session. And then you pump on your lunch and then you pump when you leave work. And so, you know, like that's how you can kind of do it. I'm like, yeah, but I'm still going like these huge blocks in between all those times. And so then I'm super stressed out when I am attached, right? Because I'm like, okay, I have to get all the milk I can during this one session so I can feed my baby tomorrow. Otherwise, she's not going to have milk, right? So I guess what is some of the advice that you give to people who maybe aren't getting the support that they need from employers or partners or society or who the heck ever is the barrier to feeding their child?
So let me say this. I see so far, and I've, you know, social media communities, yeah. But healthcare, social work yeah. are the worst fields for being able to provide.
That's why I like, left my job. It's the only reason I left that agency.
Teachers are next. They, you know, sometimes you'll find a supportive school system, but teachers are next. And then it keeps going. You got military, you know, all kinds of things. And they're trying. But you know, care is so short in time. They want you back at work and full functioning. Then you know, have coworkers that, you know, may or may not be supportive. So some of my advice is this. I'm going to give you the practical advice. I called it the Pump Buddy System, trademarked by Pump with Purpose. And it's on my platform. So you find your accountability partner if you know, want to get to know, because sometimes you're alone in this, like you feel like you're the only person, you know, from someone that did not have family. My grandmother pumped nurse. But none of my my mom or aunts and uncles in there or their wives did not do anything. So literally I was the first person in my family to really do this. And so first and foremost, no one's mean or anything, but you got to find what works for you. And if you don't know what that looks like, sometimes I tell people your struggle isn't for you. Your struggle is the past so other people can see that you weathered the storm. So for example, now my cousin's wife, nursing and pumping. My brother that my sister-in-law just had, their son is nursing and pumping as well. And so no one's in there at the house when we have a family function is going to be like, oh, you need to go in the bathroom or you need to go in the back room. Put that up. We don't need to see that. You know, so if the family unit, and some of it is to find your voice so you can find your peace, you don't see me unless you see, you're not going to be able to dictate what my journey should look like. You have to find your voice so you can find your peace. So that's family member structure. Know that you can do as long and go as long as you want. And sometimes support has to come within sometimes. And that can be hard, but you got to find your people. There are people out here, support groups that you can find so you don't feel as alone. I've created the Pump with Purpose app on all Google and Apple devices. Like, I needed to find a safe space for people to realize that they're not alone. And not the social, I mean, I love social media, but I'm talking like safe. Like, I get to control the safeness, not the algorithm. But what I'm saying is that that's one piece. But then the employer, I believe in having conversations with employers to make sure. Now the Pump Act exists, but honestly, you know, there's red tape associated with anything in corporate or anything that's not your control that you get to do for yourself. So, you know, but finding someone else that pumps at work. Maybe you cover them, they cover you. I call it finding a smoke buddy. There's not that you need to smoke, but there are people that may smoke and they go in to take breaks so then they can cover you. But then it comes to this, let me tell you, I've had community, like, because the husbands or significant others, and I mean the men, see this, they start to cover. So I had community members that are like, their manager, because their wife did it or a significant other did it. Now they're creating safe spaces and places. So that may look like if you want to, you know, have to pump, maybe they'll cover you and then you cover them. Maybe it's like, just, we got to start banding together in the corporate space. But I would be lying if I did not realize that some people have to make decisions to walk away and do what's best for their family. It's just, you got to do what's best for you, because no one's going to be there if you're not here. Your child is gonna, and mental health is real. Mental health and women in the first year of life and all that they go through and suffering in silence. I call it the superwoman complex. I used to cry in the shower a lot, like, because I always had to have this S on my chest, and now I have an S on my chest. Oh, you're gonna know what I'm thinking, and I'm gonna be able to speak up. Sometimes people don't know what we need until we know what we need. And it is so important that we find what we need first. And I believe people, we got to believe that humans at the core beings of ourselves are good people. We have to believe that. Like, we cannot really feel like, not, maybe not everyone is great, but we got to believe that, like, somewhere along the way, someone's going to be there. You know, some, even thinking our friend group, you know, when we were the first person to have children, so I was one of the last. I didn't have any issues with my friend group. But when you're one of the first, they want to go out, they want to have a good time, they want to party, and then you look crazy because you're like, listen, if I'm going, I got to pump, or I got to pump on the way in the car, and they out drinking, and you just at the pump, right? But then when it's their time, you're going to make it so much easier on them, because they're like, dang, I really treated you really, really bad, and now they're going to understand. And it's just life, and some people don't understand until they go through it themselves. So don't hold it against them if you're one of the first people. Sometimes we got to pave the way. Birth trauma produces purpose. And sometimes it all starts one person at a time to start to move the needle. And it's not easy. We're not going to be the first person to walk away from corporate, because we're not, you know, they can't do what we need to do and create our own freedom and flexibility to be the parents that we want to be. That's a different story we can tell and encourage other people when it's their time and they need to do so. They find their jam and then they do so. But some people are still out there looking for it and finding people that have already done it and really figuring out how they went about doing so. I don't look back. Every day isn't easy. You know, mompreneur life is not easy by any means of the imagination. And that isn't for everyone. Mompreneur life isn't for everyone. But if you are in a work environment that you don't control, trying to pick a schedule, trying to find what you can do. If there are breaks in the day that you can make it work, finding someone that can cover you. Maybe it is lunchtime. But if you need a little bit longer than 15 minutes because they don't get to define that, sometimes it's finding your voice. And now with the PUMP Act, there are ways that you can, go to the Department of Labor and report. But we all know retaliation still exists as well. So you really want to really try to execute all the options of working with your employer first, with documenting, second, everything that you have done to try to make this a conducive situation to allow you to feed your baby. And I really think that my grandma, my granny, I call her granny, always would say, you can get more bees with honey, right? So trying to find ways to, it can be irritating. And I get it, the people that are screaming at the top kind of get their way. But sometimes being like, what can we do to make this work? How can I feed my child? And I gotta believe that humans are humans and they're gonna be able to support you with what you need once you know what you need. And there have been some amazing stories of people finding their way without having to implement pulling out their policy, because there needs to be a policy on what needs to happen. And maybe we're gonna help push our employers to figure out what needs to happen. And some of this is not for you. You may be long gone to a new employer by then, but you're going to help the next generation coming behind you, that they're not going to have to struggle how you did. And that's, at the end of the day, how we're going to make it through.
I feel bad for that version of Abby, but I do think that, I wouldn't go back, and change kind of the decisions that I made. And it was definitely scary there in the beginning because my daughters are 15 months apart. So when I got pregnant with the next one, my second child, she was 6 months old, and I was just having a heck of a time with my employer.
Well, let me ask you this. You just said to me, and I listen. So I read between the lines. You said, that version of Abby. So if you could look back, because I just posted a post, if you could tell your prior self, what would have been the biggest thing that you told that version of Abby? And I know you're supposed to be talking to me, but I just want to know.
That she was doing it. I just felt like such a failure, right? Like I wasn't able to juggle it all. And I just of course you weren't juggling it all, right? And I just think that we just hold ourselves to just these impossible standards. I was still in grad school, or I just finished grad school. No, I was in grad school. When I was pumping my second child. So I'm like living this pump life. I'm in grad school full time. I was working full time. I was interning. I had this brand new baby, and I had, how old was my oldest? First grade, maybe. It was just like, it was way too much, and I wasn't being supported. I needed mentors. I needed to be able to plug in somewhere. I think that by that time in my motherhood journey, there was more online presence of like Facebook mom groups and, the parenting gurus that are all on there now, but still not as much as they are today. And so I just didn't have these places to really plug into, but I really needed like a group and a community. And I love that you have like this app where people can plug in, because I just felt so alone. And like, I was the only person in the whole world navigating this. There was other women at this agency that had just had babies too. And still I felt like I wasn't part of the group. And I wasn't in the know, and I'm like, I don't know. And I wasn't even a first time mom. It just was like a completely different life experience that I was in. And I wish I could go back and just like hug her and be like, you are doing a good job, and it's okay to do the formula, and it's okay to, make different choices, and it's okay to stand up for yourself. I felt like such a problem coming to my employer and being like, I'm struggling with anxiety. I didn't even know that postpartum anxiety was a thing, but I definitely had it and was not diagnosed. I was struggling with the pumping and keeping up with feedings, and I just felt like I was not a good enough mom to that baby. And you were. You are a good enough mom. You are a good enough mom. There are the resources. Go find them. Dr. Diana, I think that the last question that I was going to ask you was about, you know, you kind of talked about like maintaining supply, but I know that other issues that come along with breastfeeding and pumping are things like mastitis, clogged ducts. Are there things that women can be doing to prevent these things, or are they just like part of the beauty of the beast, and how do we navigate them?
So, you know, I will say I haven't used these terms too often in this podcast, but my community knows I'm always true to myself. So I'm team oversupply and team freezer stash over here. Like, I am all about women. I'm not saying how much you need to have in there, but what I'm saying is that I don't want you chasing behind your baby. Like, that really does add to the postpartum depression and anxiety, even if it's 5 hours, your baby takes, let's say, between 3 and 5 ounces. If you were able to just save that little bit of extra so you're not stressful, I'm not defining what you need to take and save and do. We got people doing all kinds of things and creating extra milk and donating milk to milk banks and NICUs. And I had one client, she went across country and she didn't want to save it all. So she was stopping. She found my community is amazing. So, you know, she was stopping from here to Michigan, from Virginia to Michigan along the way, and like dropping it off. And then it's just to different families. She purposely went to the different human milk for human, for babies to get so excited about what my community is doing. So I just want you to be able to choose for you what you want to do. So along the way, for clogged ducts and mastitis, you kind of know how to maintain it. And so, especially for clogged ducts, usually it comes from pump, flange, or not emptying out your breast well, or skipping your schedule. Or some people take herbal supplements and they get this galactagogue overload and it brings all this fullness and then they can't pump it out. So you kind of got to understand the root cause to what's happening. Some people can get mastitis, not empty out their breast enough, or they're more chronic or prone to it because they're using the wearable pumps and it's not emptying them out. So you got to understand the difference. But I believe that clogged ducts may happen because you sleep a little bit too long. But let me tell you, if you do sleep a little bit too long, don't beat yourself up because you slept long. Enjoy the sleep. You need some sleep. Like, you need some sleep. So, you know, if you did, know how to make sure you're emptying out your breast with the right tools. You can't have a flange just stretching it out. To, you know, nursing is definitely, you know, you got a baby that's going to wake you up because they're hungry. But pumping is kind of like, oh, I just lay here. And like, if my breasts just fill up and they're all swollen the next morning, you know, you got to put pumping on the same pedestal too. But what I am saying is that know how to empty out your breast. You don't have to let the world scare you that just because you make a little bit more milk or whatever amount of milk you make more, that it's going to automatically be like the worst thing in the world. And if you don't want all of that, that's fine too. But I just see that we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen when our cycle comes on. We don't know what's going to happen when we return to work. We don't know what's going to happen if we have a supply dip, get sick. You know, I mean, let's be, some of these illnesses now, they're ranging from 2 weeks. Like, you know, what your milk supply is going to be. But if you start from a place that's a little bit higher, then if you do encounter things along the way, like, not to mention a 4-month-old, they get distracted or they got older siblings and they don't want to nurse all the time. They want to go play and they want to come back to the chamber. Then they want to play. You know, that's not good for the milk supply consistency, you know, and not saying you need to, but you got to understand your body first and know what it needs to be successful. It's a powerful, priceless gift that we have. And if I get to help women to figure that out along the way, it makes me so happy. We don't have to struggle at this alone. There are people out here that want for your success. They want you to be successful. And I get it. Social media is madness right now. You got everyone claiming that they know this and they know that and this and that. So that creates more confusion. You ask, you know, which is fine. Peer-to-peer support is important. But if there is a time that you need a lactation professional or a pelvic floor specialist or an infant feeding specialist or a dietitian, like, you gotta know what you need and know that your care team can be different and it just evolves. What I promise you, I'm like, let me give you some as we're closing out. My oldest is 5. No, he just started kindergarten this year. No one is asking me how I fed my child. I promise you. It evolves. All this stuff that we're stressing about in the first year or two is going to look different at age 5. It's going to look different at age 10. It's going to look different at age 15 and 18 and 22. And hopefully they're off the payroll by 22. When they finish college, hopefully if they go to college or go to somewhere, they're going. Like, it just evolves, and motherhood evolves this entire time. And we have to really, really understand. And all of it's important. You're validated. What you feel at the first year postpartum, you're validated. What you're going to feel with the potty training stage, because that's my struggle right now. Give me pumping any day. Give me pumping any day. The potty training stage, or, you know, the food choice stage, or they got a picky eater stage. Like, it just evolves. And once we learn that motherhood looks differently at each stage, it's not okay. I'm not okay right now trying to potty train this 4-year-old, but he's already number one, but number two we're struggling with. And that's my truth, right? We all have truths. And what someone else's truth is not going to be your truth. And we all support each other in the struggle that we're in at the moment. Not just, that's easier. Like, stop saying that. Stop putting infant feeding journeys against each other. Nursing is different from pumping. Pumping is different from nursing. Pumping and feeding is different. They're all validated and they're all different. And to me, infant feeding is hard. There's not one that's easier than the other. Because what may be consumed is easier, the guilt in our head, sometimes we need support. We don't just need to be told like, oh, just do this. This is easier. And sometimes as women, we don't learn why pumping and or nursing didn't go well. So then we don't know that underlying conditions are present and milk supply is made from our blood. So if something's going on with your blood, you're hemorrhaging at birth, retained placenta, something's going on, your vitamin deficiency. You don't know that. So then you carry that and think it's something wrong with you when you don't know all the deficiencies because no one's testing your blood and trying to help you to understand what can be going on. Like, it's just, it's so much.
Yeah, it is so much. Support, support, support.
Yes.
Find the support and the resources that you need and deserve. Dr. Diana, tell my listeners where they can find you so that they can find all the support on their pumping journey that I wish I had back in the day.
I am on 15 social media platforms. I am everywhere the pumping community is. So no, Instagram is my main platform. I can't be everywhere. Instagram is my main platform. We go live. So right now, trying to like really show people, you know, at least twice a week, sometimes Monday through Friday. We do stories. We're in the stories every single day as well. Monday through Friday, we do question boxes on the weekends. Let me tell you the secret with lactation. You go waiting until you can find someone that's going to take you 2 to 3 weeks to find them. You're not going to have care. So we purposely bring ourselves to social media to let you know that you don't have to wait. Like, you don't, if you need to ask a question, ask them. No, I need to charge your insurance. And then you got to ask. No, when it comes to common stuff, personalized care is something we hold back for consults, but you don't need to go and wait and try to search the CDC for how long you're supposed to store your milk and when milk is good. 4 hours at room temperature. These are as of this podcast, 4 hours at room temperature, 4 days in the fridge and freezer at 0 degrees or less, up to 12 months. You don't need to be. Why? I can send you I got plenty of resources. You want to subscribe to the bottom. My website is pumpwithpurpose.com. Subscribe to the bottom. We're not bugging people, but we have a pumping survival guide that some of the tips and things that we include in there. But we're on, you know, Instagram is our main platform, and we have the Pump with Purpose app on all Google and Apple devices. And we just want you to make informed decisions. So pump with purpose everywhere that you are. But our website is www.pumpwithpurpose.com. And we just really want people to realize that pumping deserves its own pedestal.
Yes, it does. Dr. Diana, thank you so much for joining me. All of that will be linked in the description of this podcast. And thank you again for helping me support you, the mother.
Thank you. Thank you.